Chapter 23. Michael woke with a start. It was 4 a.m. and the baby was bawling. Again.
Michael!
Yelled Sophie, thumping the wall from her bedroom.
On it,
he groaned. Groggily, he hurried through the darkness, stubbing his toe en route to Maul's old room. Even the slightest baby gurgle still caused him concern. Yesterday, he'd found her chomping a sock and nearly had a heart attack. The ministry guarantees that she'll live to be 18, but what condition she arrives in is down to Michael. He scooped his daughter up.
Shh, shh. Daddy's here, he whispered, rocking her.
Olive was defiant, proudly utilizing her full vocal range. Michael's sister yelled again, forcing him to retreat downstairs. Pressing Olive to his shoulder, he bounced her up and down while one-handedly retrieving formula from the fridge. He warmed it on the stove, then took a seat on the armchair as she fed. Olive had his grandfather's spirit. Food had been the only thing that ever shut him up. 20 minutes later, she was placated and back in her crib. Michael collapsed, face down onto his mattress, exhausted. When he woke again, it was 9 a.m. His mother was at work and his sister at school. In a delirious haze, he poured orange juice onto his cereal and propped his textbook open on the kitchen table. The words blurred as he tried forcing his sleep-deprived mind to mechanical physics. Slapping his cheeks to stay awake, he started to get into the flow. Olive cried from upstairs. She was up for good now, which meant changing time, then bath time, then washing the bedsheets and the blankets and clothes from yesterday's dribble and sick, then feeding time again, because apparently it was always feeding time. Then it was time for the ministry-mandated sensory stimulation exercises.
Let's see if Daddy can figure out today's puzzle, he said, smiling exhaustedly at his child.
He affixed the magnetic cranial stimulation kit to her scalp without incident. Both of them had become so used to that part of the routine, with the help of a distracting song Michael had composed. It helped him remember the steps required to set up the damned thing and seemed to keep her entertained as she joined in with Mary gurgling. He consulted the Ministry of Fertility's bewildering instructions.
Successively tap each of your child's joints. Follow these with mirrored movements on your own body. Now lightly manipulate your child's hands to touch their own joints in the same order. Repeat this full body scan 8 times. Conclude with a soft tissue massage using the exercises on page 2.
Michael groaned, looking at the clock. Where'd the morning gone?
Okay, kiddo. Here we go, he said with forced brightness.
By the end, Olive needed changing again. Then he had to dry the clothes that had been washed earlier, and wash his clothes, which now had fresh streaks of baby sick across them. Then feeding time. Then auditory stimulation exercises from the manual. The slamming of the front door woke Michael abruptly. He sat up, mopping the dribble from his mouth. He'd fallen asleep on his textbooks again.
Here are your next assignments, said Sophia.
His sister dumped a sack of books and printouts on the kitchen table, then marched upstairs.
Oh, and your dumb friends are here to see you,
she yelled. Michael checked Olive was secure in the Moses basket, then answered the door. 3 of his school friends were lingering on the front lawn.
There he is, Dad of the Year, called one.
Good to see you, buddy,
said another, grabbing him in a bear hug.
Oh, you smell funky.
Yeah, babies have that effect, sighed Michael, raking his chaotic hair into place.
Can we see her?
Asked the third friend.
You'll have to be quiet. She's sleeping.
The 3 guys followed him into the house, pretending they hadn't heard his request to take their shoes off.
Dude, she's super cute, whispered the first.
What's this thing?
Said the second, picking up the cranial stimulation kit.
That's for her attunement, said Michael, snatching it off him.
Her what?
Do you guys pay any attention in school? Said Michael.
Not really,
laughed the third. As they caught up on school life, Michael felt a rush of energy. Anecdotes of his old teachers and playground rivals brought laughter and joy. But as the conversation wore on, bitterness set in. His friends' carefree, cavalier attitudes infuriated him. Olive stirred, and Michael seized his opportunity to turf out the trio. Hiding behind childcare excuses, he waved them off, assuring them he'd try to make soccer on Friday. Flouting the roster, Sophia refused to cook dinner,
arguing that she had too much sleep to catch up on. Michael's evening study slot thus became cooking the family meal. Val got home late and exhausted while Michael cleared up. The pair were too tired to catch up in any meaningful way beyond superficial pleasantries. She ate in silence as he tried to cram some last-minute study. Within a few minutes, Val had crawled to bed. Michael followed suit not long after as the lines on his textbook swirled. His daughter had other plans. Namely, a sleep bleep test, seeing how quickly she could wake up again, raising merry hell before Michael rushed in to soothe her back to sleep. Val attended the fourth instance, but the fifth awakening was back on him. No matter what he did this time, Olive refused to settle. Donning the harness, he wrapped his daughter up and took her out into the cool night air. As he shuffled beneath the flickering glow of their street's gas lamps, he glimpsed metallic figures working ahead. Sheltering behind a tree, he watched on. Two automatons were lowering a square enamel pipe into a trench, which led from the roadside to a new property on the corner. As one covered the new pipe with soil, the other approached the property's front lawn with a tall sheet of metal. Raising its arms high, it drove the metal into the ground, hammering on the top until it was half buried. It repeated the action with a second hunk of metal, also about the width of Michael's shoulders. The second automaton joined. Gripping one embedded sheet each, steam gushed between their fingers as the metal glowed red hot. They wrenched the sheets from the smoldering ground. Somehow, the bases had fused together, forming a V-shape, and enabling them to extract a 2-meter slice of earth. In its place, they installed a rectangular pipe and soldered a mailbox on top. They seeded the bare soil, then loaded the construction materials into a truck and departed. Michael traced the new home's trench to the distant uplit dome of the ministry. He looked from the ministry to their infant sleeping in his arms, and fear swept across him. He knew minors didn't get letters, but parents did, and he could attest to the impact that had on a child. Hurrying home, he laid his sleeping daughter to rest in her crib, then set his alarm for 5:55 a.m. Tomorrow could be his last day, and he couldn't bear the thought of letting it slip like he had with them all, or getting it so wrong like his own father had. To protect her from death, his or otherwise, he had to know what was coming.